Hello, everyone, and America and all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting episode of Let's Weekend. I am, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. The most of what? That's for you to decide. Mostly, it's in my pants.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
We're off to an early start.
Ooh, talk about a joke going over like a lead balloon. I, of course, am always joined by Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logi. Say hi, everybody.
Good day.
Hello.
Night. Whatever.
Yeah. Today, this week, we're going to be talking about probably the biggest story that happened in the world of entertainment, which means that sleazy producers are sleazy, apparently.
Yeah. This surprises anybody at this point, but we'll talk later.
Yeah. Of course, we're also going to be talking...
Film at 11.
We'll also be talking about... Vice President Pence's little publicity stunt at an NFL game. Eminem is back, and he pretty much just tore President Trump a new asshole, and you'll find out how.
I would use the term verbal arson.
Yeah. We got some Boy Scouts news. We're going to be talking about that now infamous ad by Dove.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, there's actually a little bit more to that than some people think, but we'll talk about that too. Apparently in Antarctica, hell is opening up and the dead are coming back to life.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Either that or the thing is actually real. So
pretty bitching, actually. But we'll be getting all that and more later on this episode of Let's Weekend. So, to start us off properly... Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, most of the same stuff. Been listening to that Peter F. Hamilton audiobook. I think I'm almost done, maybe? Question mark? I should check the percentage I'm at, but yeah, it seems like the story is starting to wrap itself up, so.
Yeah.
Enjoying that. Watching a couple of movies here and there. I watched Forbidden Planet, which...
The original?
The original, yeah. The remake's not out yet, so...
Yeah.
Kind of looking to see what they end up doing with that, because, I mean, J. Michael Straczynski is writing it, so...
Yeah.
Might be pretty interesting. Yeah, I mean, I had no idea that that movie was actually an adaptation of The Tempest.
Yeah. So, it's Shakespeare's The Tempest. In space! Yeah. It also has Leslie Nielsen in, like, a really serious role.
Didn't Mystery Science Theater do that, too?
I don't know.
Yes, Leslie Nielsen is in it.
Wow. I'll have to...
You probably didn't notice because he still had natural colored hair instead of bright silver.
Yeah, probably.
But what people forget is that he, up until the first Airplane movie, he was known for doing dramatic roles, so...
And then he became a comic, and...
Yeah, well, inadvertently.
Yeah. So... Yeah, so that was pretty good. I enjoyed that one. Surprisingly, it kind of still holds up. I mean, it is a 50s movie. It's definitely got all those 50s tropes. Mm-hmm. But it's not a bad film. I enjoy it quite a bit. And then I watched last night, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little late to the table on that one, but I found myself quite enjoying that. The
I haven't seen it yet either.
Yeah,
so
I won't spoil anything, but suffice to say, it's Guardians. It has lots of awesome 70s music, so there's that. What else is there to really say about it? Oh, yeah, and Batista, because Batista.
Mm-hmm.
So... good movie. Watch it if you haven't seen it. Looking forward to Volume 3, especially the way they set the scene for a new villain for that one. So that's going to be fun. And apart from that, well, I've been playing Forza 7. I've been playing it a lot on the Xbox One. Since I bought it digitally on the Xbox Store, I also got the PC version with it. So I've been putting some time into the PC version to see the differences, and kind of solid, mostly. Talk more about that, but yeah, it's got some crashy problems. Mm-hmm. It likes to do the crashy crashy very often. So I saw one review on the store that says, yeah, this game crashes more often than I do. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. So there was that. But I'm enjoying it. When I do get an actual solid race in, it performs pretty well. It looks great. It's Forza on the PC. Can't
Is
really go
crashing
wrong.
Crashing that catastrophic? Like, it's a question of when you can get in a solid race?
Well, to be fair, the crashes happen after a race.
Okay.
It's usually in the UI that it crashes. Like, it'll like do your level earnings and then crash.
Mm. So, well, how common is it?
It's kind of random. It happens in the time that I've been playing it on the PC. It's happened to me twice, and I probably put in like 3 or 4 hours. So.
Okay, so I'm not going to be fishing for a percentage here, then.
No. It's not as bad as all that, but. Yeah, it is kind of annoying when it happens because, the way that it crashes, it makes a really horrible noise and then dies. So, yeah.
So you get ear violated, too.
Yes, you do. So
fantastic.
Yeah. But Turn 10 said they're working on it and they're going to be patching extensively. So, yeah, it should be pretty stable eventually. That's been pretty much it. How about you, Pat?
Hockey's back and life is good.
Oh. Next.
Yeah, it's been a good season so far. 4 games in, the Colorado Avalanche are 3-1, which is amazing considering that they could just as easily be 1-3 and people wouldn't be saying that they were necessarily off track for where they're supposed to be. So this is all gravy as far as I'm concerned. Just been enjoying that. All of the changes that the team has made in the off season seem to be paying off. The Matt Duchene trade that is probably still inevitable has yet to go down. But the way he is gelling with new line mates Nail Yakupov and Alex Kerfoot, there might be some regrets on that trade demand, so we'll see what happens. But 3-1 so far, I'm thrilled.
Nice.
So that's been my week.
All right. Teresa, what about you?
I've been doing a lot of adulting. Been gone for a couple of weeks. Been completely and utterly overwhelmed. But, you know, you just live through it.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's really, really difficult handling a person with an IQ of 58. So, yeah, there's been explosions. There's been threats of physical violence towards him, not from him. Assholes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you're going to need to do a little explaining here.
All right. Okay. So I went to Kentucky and I was helping my grandmother with end of life things, and I did watch her die, and it was okay. You know, everybody was there. It was all right. But before she died, one of her children got enraged at her mentally handicapped eldest child, my uncle. And in front of grandma's elderly sister. So she was threatening to punch him in the face and all sorts of shit. And I said that if I dude, I told them, that's why I kept staying there. I'm like, look, I'm not going to leave because if I leave, something's going to happen. And they said, no, go have, you know, go see your kid, you know, because he was over at my in-laws. Go have dinner with them. Take a shower. It's okay. We're going to be here. I wasn't even gone 3 hours, you guys. Seriously. And I came back and,
was the place on actual fire?
It could have been. Oh, it really could have been. Aunt Brenda had a heart attack the next day. Right after grandma died. It was just a fucking nightmare, guys. It was a fucking nightmare. Jeez. And I'm supposed to be dealing with adults here. So, yeah.
Damn it.
There was that. There was so much I can't even begin to relate. I was taking custodianship over him at the Social Security office. And, you know, everything's being recorded and it's all very legit. And you're like swearing affidavits that, you know, you're not going to fuck his money up or take advantage of him. And he had to blow out and just stormed off. And he was my ride, too. Oh. IQ of 58. He drives and he drives well.
So what compared to what you've been saying, he's probably the best driver out of the lot.
You know what? What the fuck is the wrong with the rest of the people in this world who can't drive? Mm. when my mentally handicapped uncle drives better than them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that's been going on, and I can't even process or parse it. It's you know, I don't know. He was blowing up yesterday and I left and then his sisters were fucking with him. And, you know, can you just leave the poor man alone? So, lot of adulting.
So what, he's basically, have you decided who's inheriting the estate yet or?
Yeah, that was a big issue. The will was null and void and everything passed through direct survivorship to my aunt.
How can a will be null and void?
Because my grandfather went in the nursing home and Medicaid stepped in, and in order to keep the state from taking the house, my grandmother took his name off of it, and then the lawyers had her put my aunt's name on there in case she went into a nursing home. And so Aunt Gail's name's on like frickin' everything. So she inherited like everything except for one life insurance policy. She inherited, or she was the sole whatever beneficiary on the cancer policy. She was already on the bank account. She was already on all the vehicles. She was on the title of the house.
Oh my God.
Now, you know, she's being very fair about it. So she gave my mom the house yesterday.
Okay, that was the important one, right?
That's a big one. But there was a lot that went into that. So much adulting. So much adulting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just like, so Uncle Jimmy is getting like $3,300 and that's it, which, you know, I don't know. I feel bad for him, but I don't think that, well, he does understand. He really does. Hmm. So right now he's living alone and we're going to see how that goes. And that's not going to go for very long. But I am putting in place a lot of supports. I've got him going to a daytime program. I'm trying to get everything that I can set up for him. I'm going to take adult guardianship of him. I don't know how that works when I live 400 miles away. But that puts me at significant legal responsibility for things that he may or may not do.
Yeah.
So, because apparently this falls to me because his sisters fucking hate him.
Well, they've made that pretty clear.
They really, well, now mom is trying to be better. She really is. But it must have been hard to grow up with somebody who was severely autistic in the 60s, the 50s and 60s, because they really didn't do anything with them. And whenever, you know, they acted out in their special ed classes, they would literally lock them in the janitor's closet. So, you know, forced medication. Of course, now I can't get him to take any medicine that would help significantly with some issues. You know, it's kind of like I'm fighting against society's past transgressions.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So a fuck ton of adulting. I can't even. But I have escaped several times into the world of Eorzea. So clearly, I've still been playing.
That's
Final
a good
Fantasy
escape. Sports.
Yeah,
it has been. I'm still farming Yokai Watch weapons. I got my 10th one yesterday. So now I'm on to my very last three, and then I can have that motherfucking special mount. I don't know why I want this mount. So, but now I'm at the point where I have to get 30 medals in order to redeem one weapon.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, let's see if that happens before Halloween.
Yeah.
Is that when the event ends?
That's when it ends. Yeah, I think November 1st, I'm pretty sure, is the end of the event. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that dude that, as Lee put it, I shacked up with in game.
Yeah.
He had a lot of drama while I was out with my own personal drama.
That surprised me not at all.
This mm-hmm. should not. Again, I mentioned I found out he was 17.
Yeah.
So, and I was always very clear that, you know, this is just friends. Well, somebody else in the free company was helping him with quests and stuff. And apparently...
He whipped it out?
No. But he got on the Discord channel and was trying to. And she shut him down. She's like, no, I was just trying to be friendly. This did not mean that there was any sort of romantic, you know, whatever there. And so he was threatening to kill himself over it. And she's like, well, fuck you. I'm done with you. So they kicked him out of the free company, but he's still on my friends list. And I'm like, what? Because, of course, you know, I heard about it when I came back.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
So, yeah. So there's, you know, kids. I don't know. It's hard growing up, and it's probably... Yeah, there's other things going on there. But she was not going to be fucking manipulated, and I'm glad she stood up for herself.
Yeah.
So, and they have not approved his request to rejoin the Link show, or free company. Sorry. Terms confused.
Well, they used to be Link shells back in 11, so.
They were. Oh, and I ran a dungeon with him. He's a fucking shitlord. Oh, my God. Well, why don't you have that unlocked? You really need to go do this quest. Bah, 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 bah. Well, you did that. I'm like, shut fuck up, you little pissant. But yeah. Eventually,
but we'll expect to see him show up on the incel subreddit.
Probably. So, but I did also start Mr. Robot.
Okay.
And holy shit, before we even got to the opening credits, I was in. So, but now I've got to wait because Scott wants to watch the first two episodes that I just blew through yesterday. Because he wants to. I want to know what happened. Something really kind of unexpected happened at the end of episode two where he got kind of pushed a little bit. And what the fuck happened? I got to find out. It's killing me that I can't find out. So all day today, I have been resisting the urge to go ahead and watch episode three. but that was a lot, but that is all that I have been doing. Seriously, that's all I've been doing for like 3 weeks.
Christian Slater is just so good in that show.
Oh my God, he is. And what the fuck? Is he taking Botox injections or something?
Because I don't know.
He has the most supple face skin, like not even hardly a wrinkle line on his forehead. He's older than me.
Yeah.
What the hell? Money. and lack of Uncle Jimmy, so that might, you know, make his life a little easier.
Yeah, true.
All right. Chris, are you next?
Yep, Chris is next.
Alright.
So I watched the first season of Dragon Ball Super.
That's good.
Yeah, it's basically a retelling of one of the recent movies.
Yeah.
With Lord Beerus. And
who has very quickly become my new favorite Dragon Ball character.
Yeah, he's very interesting.
Many of the new characters they've introduced in Super are fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's real weird just seeing a Dragon Ball show with like an actual normal anime intro.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to just having like one song for 300 episodes.
Yeah.
One of the things that did annoy me was the moments where they zoom in on somebody's face and it's got really thick, bolded outlines.
Mm-hmm.
It just clashes with the rest of the art style, where they obviously don't have any sort of thing like that.
Well, to be fair, Toriyama's art style has kind of changed a bit over the years.
Yeah.
And his design sense. He you know, cuz he does all of his artwork now, he does entirely digital.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's reflected in his character design.
Yeah, that's the one thing I could have done without, but everything else is pretty good. So I'm looking forward to starting up season 2 pretty soon.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Dragon Ball Super, it starts exactly where the last season of Dragon Ball Z left off. Yeah. And then it retails the most recent Dragon Ball movie, which was, again, it was Battle a direct... Battle of Gods. Yeah, Battle of Gods.
Yeah. And it was interesting seeing... just seeing, like, a continuation as doesn't go off the rails like GT.
Yeah, well, to be fair, well,
that's because Toriyama's involved.
Yeah, Toriyama didn't have any involvement with GT.
He was quote unquote art director, but he clearly gave zero fucks during GT, and he didn't write any of it.
No.
Yeah. It's nice to have Dragon Ball back in a good way, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The fights that last 4 or 5 episodes I could do without. Though, well, it made sense when they're adapting a movie to a show. Mm. Where it's like, that's the one fight in that whole thing for the most part. I guess I also jump back into Mr. Robot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on like the 4th episode. And it's getting pretty interesting. Though having such a long break between the first episode and second episode is a little bit of a... just trying to remember exactly what's going on. But seems like they're still having a lot of shoes to drop as they start revealing some more backstory stuff, like about Elliot's father, how he died. So a big part of that and all that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watching more of that. As for games, I've been playing a good bit of Minecraft, on Xbox One, I guess a little bit on PS4, but mostly on Xbox One, where playing the new edition, the Better Together edition, and they messed up the controls at some point.
Mm.
Basically,
how do you fuck up Minecraft's controls?
It's mainly the input. When I go to place blocks, it will place multiple at once. So I am trying to build a bridge, like covered railway, essentially. For one of the achievements is build a 500-meter like railway and ride it from one end to the other. And so I'm building this nice glass-covered bridge that goes from right near one of the castles I built on my original Minecraft Xbox Live Arcade save. And you don't want to fuck up when you're placing glass, because you can't just unfuck it up. You just basically destroy it. And that's happened once or twice where I go to place it. It seems like it's taking the, because it's all the triggers for that stuff. So it seems like it's taking one press of the triggers as like multiple inputs. And so it's placing multiple blocks in once. So I kind of have to do this one weird thing where I'm essentially right in front of where I want to place the blocks. So it's not askew and able to place them off-center. Though the way I'm doing it, eventually I have to do it that way. But I'm just trying to be as careful as possible. But yeah, it's not fun. And they also changed some of the interface stuff. So before, you kind of had the nice little interface where you could sort of just look at everything and see what the recipes were. And they kind of reorder that stuff based on what you have in your inventory. So it looks at that and it's like surfaces all the stuff you can make right now and it makes it a little bit harder to see the other stuff. So I'm like, how the hell do I craft a flower pot? And it's like, I got to go look at this list of icons and try and pick out the one that doesn't look like the rest. That's like the flower pot. Because a lot of it is like, oh, here's the various flavors of swords and hoes and all this other stuff. And it gets a little bit confusing trying to pick out what the flower pot is. Because there's like a bowl and there's some other stuff that looks like that. But yeah, it's not the greatest. But yeah, I'm hoping they fix the input issues. And I was also trying to figure out if I could do something about that in the settings, and I didn't see anything. But yeah, that's not great. But I also been playing more Metroid: Samus Returns. I entered a new area, and it's really hard. Mainly because they introduced new turrets that lock on. So it's not like you can just get out of the way unless you just get like a whole wall between you. And so I'm like at 27 health constantly, down to bare bones. So I need to find some enemies that I can farm for some more health. But yeah, that's been pretty good so far. I got a new attack in there, which is sort of a rapid shot, which is pretty good, especially when you got enemies that you need to kill real quickly. Like, say, turrets that want to shoot you real fast.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing more PlayStation VR, mainly because I'm working on a feature to try to kind of do mini reviews of every PSVR game I have.
Commemorate the first year.
Yeah. Which is a hell of a lot. Once I get it done, it'll be the biggest feature we've ever done. And trying to figure out how to make that not an insane read is going to be an interesting challenge.
Mm.
And especially when I bought like 19 more games.
Oh.
From the... Because to celebrate the one-year anniversary, like 80% of the PSVR games on PSN went on sale.
That's not even really like, a flash sale.
Yeah. It's like, oh, here's a bunch of stuff I've been interested in. I picked up I Expect You to Die, which is a Bond-themed puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you're in a bunch of escape rooms themed around Bond situations. The first one's you're in a car in the back of a cargo plane, poison gas on the outside of the car, and you're sitting trying to figure out how to open up the back door and fly out, drive out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some cool stuff, like things that don't add into anything. You can open up one of the compartments and pull out a cigar and a lighter.
Yeah.
And just sit there and just puff on a cigar. or you can pull out, because of course there's a champagne bottle and some glasses, and you can just sit there and fill it up with some champagne and take a drink, a lot of good stuff. And they show after I beat it like six different like special things. So there's like a bunch of different things you can do, but it works really well. And it has one of the coolest. It basically the opening is one of those classic Bond intros, which you get to experience it through VR, which is really well done. What else I play? I played some more of NBA 2K VR, which I said a while ago was terrible, and it's still bad. They added move support, which doesn't really fix much of anything.
No.
You kind of just make throwing motions, and then the ball just starts going into a shooting arc. So there's like 10% of the time I just throw the ball to the ground, and the rest of the time it kind of just goes flying into the air. And the different mini games they have in there, like there's the three-point shooting contest, which makes sense, and the rest of it doesn't. It would have been nice if it was more like the All-Stars competition stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. It's like, hey, throw this ball at this target, and then look at the other target it's going to bounce to, and then to the next target. Then look at the hoop so it can go in. Another one is like just buzzer beater kind of shots, but I'm just sitting here like throwing the most in the laziest way, and somehow the ball goes flying into the air into the hoop. It's like, this is not basketball. This is just throwing a ball and you have like an 80% chance to go into the hoop. It's real dumb, but yeah, I've been playing some other stuff, and hopefully going to have this big feature done, hopefully this weekend. But I've been hoping to work on it the last few days, and work has been stealing all my time.
Mm.
And when it's not, I've been too tired to work on this. But yeah, it's going to be a pretty cool feature, especially for people that want to know what cool games there are and what games not to get. But yeah, that's going to be pretty neat. Been doing some more YouTube stuff. I actually put up a couple videos of PSVR things. Unfortunately, audio got fucked up on two of them, which wasn't great. It was a weird situation where I was trying to export the videos, and for whatever reason, my drive space ran out. But which somehow corrupted the videos, so they don't open anymore. But I can pull out the source videos and upload those to YouTube, but the audio is not in there, at least my commentary audio, which sucks, but oh well. At least the stuff is there, and I don't want to redo them just to have talking in it. But NBA 2K was one of those. I Expect You to Die was another, and I forget what the third one was.
Was Oblivious in there somewhere?
That one I did when that came out.
That's
up on the Smashpad channel. Ancient Amuletter is the third one, which is, I think it's from the people that made Pixel Gear. It's kind of a weird tower defense shooter, where you kind of warp around these maps and you shoot at enemies that are coming up to these crystals to try to destroy them. What's neat is that there are different characters who have different types of attacks. There's one character has a bow, so you can sort of try and aim a bow in VR, which is a little bit tougher, but you can also just move it right in front of you, so you can have sort of a iron sight kind of view. There's a regular person that has guns, which is kind of shotgunny. What's cool is when you run out of your clip, you sort of flip the move like you're reloading it. Like after you're like you fill a like an elephant gun, you sort of do that cocking of it, like to flip it to lock and load it. Like that's what you do to sort of finish your reload, which is nice. There's a Viking who just throws shit at people.
Mm-hmm.
You pull it off your belt and you throw like axes. You can pull out axes. There's some that's like you just throw like a lamb leg, a leg of meat sort of thing. And somehow that causes enemies to go slower or something like that. It's weird, but yeah, it's neat. It's one of the Chinese PSVR games out there, which is cool to see some of that stuff from them. Oh yeah, I played that Batman Arkham VR thing, which is pretty cool. It's kind of like if they took out the just made Batman an adventure game, like where it's all about the detective vision stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is, which is really cool. And yeah, I was trying to solve a puzzle, and I think I fucked up a vault thing. It was really buggy. Like I couldn't actually touch the buttons because I knew it was a combination of like three numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it timed out. I don't know. It was real weird. But yeah, that's been mostly it. I got harassed by a helicopter yesterday. For the reason, it was just flying above the house for like 5-10 minutes. I was just sitting in my room. It's like, that sounds like a loud fan pointed directly at my face, but there's no such thing. And I go look up, and there's just a helicopter hovering above the house. Like, what the hell is this thing doing?
And like a few minutes, your weed grow stash.
I don't know. Then a few minutes later, it just flew away down the street. I was like, what? It's like somebody training on a helicopter and just stopping at random people's backyards. Like, just, okay, you stand here while everybody's backyard's just shit blowing all over the place.
Oh, my God. Well, did somebody rob a bank and hide out in backyards or something?
Not around here. Cause nobody got out or anything. I don't know, cop cars or anything. It's just helicopter just flying around. I saw it the other day, just about the same. It's like 100 feet up. It's not even that far. The other day, just flew across the place, just really loud things. Like, what the hell are these crazy people doing?
Oh, my God.
So we're getting harassed by helicopters over here for whatever reason. Nobody's doing anything either, as far as I can tell. Maybe down the street, I don't know. There's somebody who doesn't mow their lawn or take care of it, so they got bushes all over the place. Maybe they're hiding drugs in there. I don't know. How about you, Brandon?
Wow.
Where do you go from there?
Yeah.
All right. I got conspiracies over here. How about you, Brandon?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm still playing Sakura Wars. Not really much to report on that front. I haven't had a chance to play it as much as I'd like to. Partly because I have been wanting to get back into Final Fantasy XIV, but as everybody knows, there was that big patch that came out recently. And, well, 4.1. it kept, the connection kept cutting out on me, so.
Oh, shit.
It took me a couple days to load that thing.
You're on now?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
It works now. I finished it last night.
Oh, did you get the update that stopped at about 3 a.m. today?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Still doing that. Still doing reading and books and stuff. I got the, finally got the second volume, so that I now got the complete 3-volume set of, Masaomi Kanzaki Street Fighter manga. Which, have you ever read that?
Give me an era to go by.
It was like early 90s.
So Street Fighter 2 era.
Yeah. Like the animated movie hadn't even come out yet.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, basically Udon published it here in the U.S. because they basically do all of the Street Fighter stuff here now.
Yeah.
And, it was published way back originally in early 90s. And weirdly enough, it's basically where, oddly enough, a lot of the modern plot, some of the modern plot elements that are in Street Fighter canon more or less kind of indirectly start there. Like, for example, Ryu and Ken's master. He makes his first appearance, proper appearance, in this particular manga. So, also, let's see, Po Jin, which is a character that shows up in Street Fighter V very briefly, also makes her first appearance here. There is also... The thing is, though, because he only had a little bit to go on, because remember, this is Street Fighter II, every character had sort of a basic story, and that's about it.
If they were lucky.
Yeah, if they were lucky. So he came up with like this really bizarre, this really sort of bizarre plot device where basically the organizers of the Street Fighter tournament, which of course is Shadaloo, basically built this huge artificial island that basically is meant to be representative of the different parts of the world's cultures. So, you know, unlike in the game where you're actually going all over the planet, and here they just sort of took all the world's cultures and then built this gigantic artificial island and put them all on there. Oh, and here's
that's
the other...
That's got kind of a Mortal Kombat vibe to it.
Oh, it gets even better. You know something they actually acknowledge in this manga? Fighting against yourself.
Really?
Yeah. In this, in the very last volume, they all basically have to get together and kick the shit out of clones of themselves.
Nice.
And let's see, what else? Oh yeah, for some weird reason, Ryu is a massive pervert in this one.
That seems to be the placeholder character when they don't know a character's personality.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched the Virtua Fighter anime, they kind of did that as well.
With, what's Akira. His name? With Akira? Yeah. But I actually do recommend reading it just for the... Because you remember, what we know as the sort of Street Fighter canon universe was still sort of in its formation stages, so it's really strange seeing sort of how the whole story comes together. But yeah, it's really good. The artwork's fantastic. I mean, it's really top-notch early 90s action manga, so it's very nice to look at. Just remember that the plot is balls of the walls insane and doesn't make a lick of sense.
And probably doesn't really attempt to.
Yeah.
Because shit, Capcom didn't.
Yeah. And other than that, I am... I would like to say I'm enjoying this cool weather, but that would kind of be a lie because thanks to Tropical Storm, Tropical Depression Nate, the temperatures climbed back up to around 90 again this week. But
that is not okay.
But hopefully for the last time, because it's going to be in mostly in the 70s for the foreseeable future, as I can see. So
yeah, that's not asshole summer. That's drunken asshole summer.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'll believe it when I see it.
I think
you're going to see a few more 90s. Hope not.
I hopefully hope not either.
Hard on the air conditioners.
Let's see. Yeah, like I'm looking at the forecast here, and next Friday the high is supposed to be like 79. So
that's not too bad. Is that normal?
Yeah, it's normal for around here. Okay. Thing is, the way that fall autumn works down south is that it's not unusual for it to get pretty hot during the day, but like freezing cold in the mornings. So, like, you know, tonight it's going to get down to like 40 something. But,
yeah. Yep, but, where you can cool off the house at night and then close it up at about noon.
Yeah. But, anyway, that's what I've been up to. What about any guy got anything else that you want to add before we move on?
I think I'm pretty much done.
All right. Well, then,
it really has been an uneventful week.
Yeah.
At least
for
me.
You. For some of us here, it's been quite eventful. Yeah. But anyway, so it's now time once again for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And so, quick question. How many of you guys, when you were in high school, had to take Shakespeare?
Yeah, it was part of English classes up here.
Yeah, I mean, you mean where they forced us, or?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, well, yeah, they did that too, but.
I think it was like one segment of English.
Yeah. It kind of sucked, didn't it?
Well, not really.
Some of it kind of did.
Okay, for the sake of this whole segment, just...
Okay, we'll just go with agree. It. It sucked totally.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to be perfectly honest. For most teenagers in high school, when they try to teach them Shakespeare, they just kind of don't do it very well. Because, you know, the thing about, like, watching, about, you know, taking Shakespeare in modern literature classes is that they tend to... How can I put this? They sort of approach Shakespeare like he's some sort of idol, you know, to be worshipped, and all of his work is perfect and, you know, literary and high culture. And I mean, that's not completely wrong. You know, there is a reason why he's considered the sort of standard bearer of English letters, but...
Wow.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Shakespeare, of course, in his time, he was known, like people knew who he was during his time. His name was, you know, he did have a claim, but he was popular back then the way that, say, Stephen J. Cannell was during, you know, his lifetime. Those of you don't remember, Stephen J. Cannell was the writer and producer of such famous TV shows as The A-Team, 21 Jump Street, basically pretty much...
He wasn't huge, but he had a good following.
Yeah. Hmm. But the big thing is, and the problem that's probably one of the big problems with a lot of his trying to teach his stuff in high school is that they tend to sanitize it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about Shakespeare is that his plays were meant to, you know, appeal to three kinds of audiences, and usually all three of those audiences would be in theater watching it. You had the high literary types who appreciate, you know, his poetic license and the fact that he basically wrote everything in iambic pentameter and you know, literary and historical and religious references that he would use. And he had those in the middle who, you know, appreciated good drama and plot and, you know, really liked watching, you know, appreciated his writing style. And then you had those at the bottom who just laughed at all the dick jokes. Because, see, that's the thing about Shakespeare that they always forget to, always forget to talk about in high school English is the enormous amount of very, very dirty jokes that he would sneak into all of his plays. Some of it is because, to be fair, some of the slang doesn't quite work in a modern context. Some of them, however, are actually pretty obvious and really don't need other explanation. So, with thanks to the good folks at Mental Floss, I present to you a few of the very infamous dirty jokes that you can find in some of Shakespeare's famous works. Are we ready?
Okay.
All right, so let's start with probably one of his most famous plays, which was Twelfth Night. And this particular is from Scene 5 in Act 2, and it concerns a character named Malvolio who receives a letter that he believes is from his boss, a woman by the name of Olivia. And he's recognizing, looking at the letter, and he's seeing that this must be her penmanship, and this is what he writes. And pay attention, it says, "By my life, this is my lady's hand. These be her very C's, her U's, and her T's, and thus makes her her great P's." Do I need to explain that one a little bit?
No.
Okay, so literally what he's referring to is her penmanship. Like, he can tell this is the way she writes a C, this is the way she writes a T, a U, a T, and the letter P. But you notice that what he's saying at first there is, this is her C, her U's, and her T's. And you're thinking, gee, what could he be referring to there?
He slipped that N in there quite effectively.
Yeah, and remember, when you're hearing this back in Shakespeare's time, this was when the English language sounded a little bit differently. So "an" was pronounced as the letter N. Mm. So it was, "By me life, this is me lady's tease. These be her C's, her U's, and her T's." Yes, he did manage to throw the N in there.
Yeah.
And as for the part where she makes her great peas, well, I don't really need to explain that one, do I?
Not really.
All right. Okay, here's another one, probably from what's probably his most famous, which is Hamlet. Now, does everyone know what sort of the basic plot of Hamlet is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just real quick, basic plot is Hamlet is a prince. His father is a king. And his wife is queen, of course. His father dies and then marries his I can't remember how it's related to because by some weird sort of aristocratic triangle they're related, but it's in such a way that we don't, like, by modern standards we wouldn't consider it.
Yeah.
And the thing is that Hamlet basically sees the ghost of his dad, or at least what people think, what the audience may think is the ghost of his dad, and he may or may not be going slowly insane during the entire play. It's meant to be ambiguous. And so in this, he's talking to two of his acquaintances by the name of Guilderstern and Rosencrantz. And he's asking them how they're doing. They say they're indifferent. They're neither at the top of fate nor the soles of her shoes. So Hamlet replies, "Then you live about her waist or in the middle of her favors." Guilderstern says, "Privates we." Hamlet says, "In the secret parts of fortune?" Take a guess what secret parts means.
That is, should be pretty obvious.
Yeah. Okay, this is from later on. It's in Act 3, Scene 2 of Hamlet. And Hamlet is kind of badgering his would-be girlfriend, Ophelia. And the thing you have to know is at this point, he's basically cracked at this point. Or at least that's what we're supposed to think. And then here's how it goes. And this one may require a little bit of explaining towards the end, but here it goes. So it's Hamlet talking to Ophelia. "Lady, shall I lie in your lap?"
"No, my lord."
"I mean, my head upon your lap."
"Aye, my lord."
"Do you think I meant country matters?"
"I think nothing, my lord."
"That's a fair thought, to lie between maid's legs."
"What is, my lord?"
"Nothing." Now that one needs to be... Because despite he's thinking, "May I lay your head upon your laps?" Well, we know what head he's talking about. But then there's the last part. Remember how he says, "Nothing"? Back in the Elizabethan era, "nothing" was slang for lady bits. Okay, so he's saying, "That's a fair thought, to lie between his legs." "Nothing." Yeah. See, some of these are a little obscure because, again, the way the English language has changed over the years.
Yeah.
This one is... okay, so this one's from A Midsummer Night's Dream. It's from Act 5, Scene 1. What you need to know is that in this part of the play, there's actually a play happening within a play. And you're basically seeing a couple, Pyramus and Thisbe. Pyramus is the man. Thisbe is the woman. And it says, "Oh, kiss me through the..." Oh, wait, hold on. Another person is filling the role of... Oh, and also, the third person you know is that they're talking betwixt a wall. There's a wall between them, and there's a hole in the middle of it, and they're talking to each other through it.
Oh, glory.
And Pyrrhus says, "Oh, kiss me through the hole of this vile wall." Thisbe says, "I kiss the wall's hole, not your lips at all." And remember, there's a person who is playing the wall.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Here's another one, and this is probably, of all, like, the dirty jokes in Shakespeare, this is probably the most famous. It's from The Taming of the Shrew, Act 2, Scene 1, and it's between the characters Petruchio and Katharina. Petruchio says, "Who knows not where a wasp does wear his sting? In his tail." Katharina replies, "In his tongue." Petruchio, "Whose tongue?" Katharina, "Yours, if you talk of tails, and so, farewell." Petruchio replies, "What, with my tongue in your tail?" If you've seen that movie Porky's 2 the next day, you know this one. That was like a centerpiece of the plot of that movie. "Now, there's no intention of this man's attention. He intends to put his tongue in a woman's tail. What type of man would do such a thing?" I would. Yeah. And,
yeah.
Okay, here's another one. This is from Othello. Actually, from Act 1, Scene 1. For those who don't know, Othello is about a woman by the name of... it's by a woman who's married to a Moor. For those who don't, do I need to explain what a Moor is?
Black dude.
Yeah, it was black guy.
Again? Yeah, okay.
Moor. Moors were Africans, basically. And a character named Iago is informing another character that his daughter has married this gentleman. And Iago says, "I am one, sir, that comes to tell you your daughter and the Moor are now making the beast with two backs." And now you know where that euphemism comes from.
Yep.
Still around today.
Yeah. And, okay, here's another one. This is from Titus Andronicus, probably one of his more obscure plays, but also the one that's more bloody than Macbeth. If you ever get a chance, there's a great movie version of this play with, what's his name in it? I can't even remember. Hannibal Lecter.
That guy.
Yeah, him. And it's between two characters, Chiron and Aaron. Aaron is... And basically what you need to know is that Aaron is having an affair with Chiron's mother. And Chiron actually thinks that he is responsible for ruining his mother. So Chiron says, "Villain, thou hast undone our mother." Aaron says, "Villain, I have done thy mother."
Yeah, that one's not subtle.
Yeah.
They went there.
Oh, yeah. And finally, we've got one for Much Ado About Nothing, Act 5, Scene 2. By the way, remember what I said earlier about what nothing was slang for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what you need to know is that back in Elizabeth era, the phrase to die was a euphemism for, you know, climax.
Yeah.
Orgasm. And so the character of Benedict is talking to his lover Beatrice, and he says, "I will live in thy heart, die in thy lap, and be buried in thy eyes."
Okay.
He's like, yeah, he's like, "I will love you so much, I will live within your heart, I will, well, make the beast with two backs, and then I will be buried in thy eyes." So there you go. Those are some of the famous dirty jokes and slang and euphemisms for the nasty what that Shakespeare put into his plays. And let's be honest, if they had told you about all this back in high school, it would have made it a hell of a lot more interesting.
You know?
And that has been, yet again, everyone's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid.
All right.
Cool.
All right. So, now... it's time to start the show proper with our asshole of the week. And there was really no other person that could equal it. It is now former Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein. Who basically had a slew of people finally coming out and admitting the accusations of, you know, harassment, assault, rape, that he, as a Hollywood producer, has inflicted upon many an actress during his career.
Yeah, and the names are big and small.
yeah, these are people you know. Angelina Jolie.
Rose McGowan.
Oh, by the way, because it's probably going to drive you crazy for the rest of the night, Brandon, the name you were thinking of was Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, that's Anthony Hopkins. That's who I was thinking about. But yeah, yeah, these are not small people. These are big names, people coming out. And first of all, obviously Weinstein is an asshole because you don't do that shit. But probably what's might be worse is that he tried to defend his conduct by saying, you know, I came up in the industry in the 60s and 70s, and that's the way it was back then. Which, what does that sound like?
Racist, old fuck.
Yeah, it's basically the exact same speech Roger Ailes gave. Like, almost word for word.
Mm.
Before they finally shit-canned him from Fox News. But... And then he tried to, like, somewhere toward the end of his statement, talking about how he was trying to be a force for women and, you know, do a feminist cause, all that bullshit, trying to deflect. Because he thinks that, okay, here's the sort of dirty little secret about Hollywood that you need to know. Hollywood, on the surface, tries to be all liberal and progressive, but down at the base, at where the real business and stuff goes, it's as amoral and sleazy free market conservative as you can possibly get. It may be one of the most cynical industries on the planet. But the thing is, because a lot of these producers try to play into that part, he thought that by using this last reference, he could sort of deflect and try to use his quote-unquote liberal cred to deflect from the issue. He failed, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, and keep in mind, like we said, yeah, he's been in this business since the 60s. I mean, there have been people like Jane Fonda came out today basically admitting that she knew all this shit and hated the fact that she hadn't said anything until now.
People like Seth MacFarlane talking about how he took a shot at Weinstein a few years ago at one of the award shows.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, with the woman's permission, sort of explained why he did that.
Yeah. And of course, Weinstein is also infamously the guy who screwed over Troy Duffy, the writer and director of The Boondock Saint, which is... You know, because originally Weinstein's production company was going to be behind that because they originally bought, Duffy's screenplay for like, I think it was like hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was one of the biggest acquisitions from an unknown filmmaker at that time. So it was major news. And of course, he backed out later on before the project even started. Asshole of the Week is definitely Harvey Weinstein. Our heroes of the week, however, are the victims who are finally coming forward. We've already named some of them, and, Rose McGowan, Angelina Jolie. Then, of course, there's the less known actresses that have come out and, because this stuff is sort of happens in a pattern with these guys. You'll get one... in Hollywood, sort of Weinstein's behavior has kind of been sort of a, I don't want to necessarily say an open secret, but it's not unknown. But what happened is finally one person came forward with a credible accusation, and then the floodgates opened. You know, same thing happened to Bill O'Reilly, Bill Cosby, it not only has opened up to Weinstein's behavior, but it's also opened up to the way that producers in general act over in Hollywood. And one of the people that actually spoke up was none other than Terry Crews.
Yeah, you want to read his tweets?
Yeah, hold on just a second. But so Terry Crews went on Twitter and he basically described his – he says, okay. This whole thing with Harvey Weinstein has given me PTSD. Why? Because this kind of thing happened to me. My wife and I were at a Hollywood function last year, and a high-level Hollywood executive came over to me and groped my privates. Jumping back, I said, "What are you doing?" My wife saw everything, and he looked at him like he was crazy. He just grinned like a jerk. I was going to kick his ass right then, but I thought twice about how the whole thing would appear. 240-pound black man stomps out Hollywood honcho would be the headline the next day. Only I probably wouldn't have been able to read it because I would have been in jail, so we left. That night and the next day, I talked to everyone. That night and the next day, I talked to everyone I knew that worked with him about what happened. He called me the next day with an apology, but never really explained why he did what he did. I decided not to take it further because I didn't want to be ostracized, par four of the course, when the predator has power and influence. I let it go, and I understand why many women who this happens to let it go. Who's going to believe you? Few. What are the repercussions? Many. Do you want to work again? Yes. Are you prepared to be ostracized? No. I love what I do, but it's a shame in the height of disappointment when someone tries to take advantage of that. He knows who he is, but sometimes you have to wait and compare notes with others who've been victimized in order to gain a position of strength. I understand and empathize with those who have remained silent, but Harvey Weinstein is not the only perpetrator. Hollywood is not the only business where this happens, and to the casualties of this behavior, you are not alone. Hopefully, me coming forward with my story will deter a predator and encourage someone who feels hopeless. So, yeah.
Yep.
So apparently that's very common in Hollywood as far as producers. They're just sleazy bastards who think they can get away with anything.
And I think James Vanderbeek also came out and said that he had some exec would grope his ass and basically corner him and sort of talk dirty to him when he didn't want to.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. And so it's not just women, but I'd imagine it's mostly women.
Mm-hmm. And, God, it obviously stories of the casting couch have been well known for years.
Yeah, though, if you look at this, the Harvey Weinstein victim article, like, there is a clear thread of him inviting these women to his hotel room.
Yeah.
Either offering massages or alcohol or some other thing like that. Some were smart enough to not do it at all. I think Heather Graham here says she was invited to come up to his hotel for a meeting. She wanted to have a friend come with her to have her back, and he tried to say her friend was already there, sort of guilt her into coming up. And she stayed away. Said she was never hired for one of his films, and she never spoke up about her experience.
Wow.
And it was like, Ashley Judd is here. Mina Sorvino. A lot of big names.
Just go, take a look at the list yourself. You're going to find a lot of people.
The ones who've come out right now.
Yeah, these are just the people who've actually...
Gwyneth Paltrow's on here. Kate Beckinsale, he hit on her when she was 17.
But, yeah. Just to take a look at that particular list, you'll definitely see names that you've heard of. And
Rose McGowan took down the head of Amazon Studios. Because she told them about Weinstein's rape, raping her. And they tried to deny it and all that. Despite them having a working relationship with the Weinstein company right now. And so now that exec is on a leave of absence for the foreseeable future. While they look over all that.
Speaking of the Weinstein company, our first proper, story of the night. Apparently, the company is removing Harvey Weinstein's name from all of their material and are actually looking to change the name of the company. Which yeah, they're makes perfect soliciting, sense.
Yeah, they're soliciting to add agencies for new names and such.
Yeah, because they want to scrape away the legacy of Harvey Weinstein the best they possibly can. And I have a feeling Weinstein isn't going to be the first. I have a feeling that this is gonna start an avalanche.
Oh yeah.
And you're going to see a lot of old Hollywood go down the tubes.
Yeah, so, all these people are talking, and now it's going to create a better atmosphere for others to come out.
Yeah. Because like everything else, right now, Hollywood is going through its own little cultural revolution, and they have made the decision collectively that that type of behavior just isn't acceptable anymore.
I guess there's a new thing. Amazon severs ties with the Weinstein Company.
Yep.
So they've just completely cut off.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, moving on. As everybody knows, unfortunately, we had that terrible mass shooting that happened in Nevada, in Las Vegas. Stephen Paddock, you know, with a massive high power, with a very high powered rifle with a bump stock, managed to kill over 50, I think it's like over 60 people now, and injured hundreds more. And for those who don't know, that was happening during a country music festival, and the person who was performing when that shooting happened was Jason Aldean, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Jason Aldean. So Jason Aldean decided to do the cold open for SNL, and all he did was he came out with his guitar, and he performed the late Tom Petty's classic anthem, Won't Back Down.
Yep.
And he did a very nice job of it, too.
Yeah, he did.
I don't like country music, but, you know.
It was a pretty good version of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't say I've seen it because I'm in Canada and I'm not allowed to watch it.
I think you changed tube in the URL to PAK, P-A-K. That's like the weird workaround for anybody outside of the U.S.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, if you get a chance, watch it. It's very nice, and he did a really good job. And
it was a nice way for SNL to start that episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very reminiscent of how they had after the post-election cold open they did with what's-her-name who was playing Hillary Clinton did
Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, did Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. So
yeah.
So next up in political news, our Vice President Mike Pence wasted $250,000 of taxpayer money for a publicity stunt that completely fell on its ass.
Yeah, everybody saw through it because they were telling the press pool, hey, just stay here in the bus. He'll be back out real quick.
Yeah. but basically what you need to know, he went to a what game was it?
Indianapolis Colts at the versus the 49ers.
Yeah.
Which the 49ers are where Colin Kaepernick was when he started all of this.
Yeah. And
surprise, they need.
Apparently, had they announced that Mike Pence was there beforehand? I'm guessing they did.
I would assume so, since they brought the press with them.
Yeah. And so you know exactly what happened. The players took a knee.
Yeah.
Took a knee, gave a fist.
He left, of course, he tweeted all this stuff about, I will not stand for people kneeing during the national anthem.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, he walked away in a huff and tried to make it out like it was this big stand for patriotism. It wasn't. It was very, and every
that came out, Trump told him to do this.
Yeah.
It was paid protest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? How they always have, how they always accuse George Soros of trying to fund Antifa or something. He doesn't, by the way, because Antifa isn't an actual organization. But, so
government is funding this stuff.
Yeah. And then he, I remember he tried to play it off with, like, I think he put a photo up on his Twitter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That ended up to be a fake.
Him in Colts gear, and that was from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Because there's pictures of other people took of him, and he's in a like an actual sport coat and all that.
Mm-hmm. So
your picture's obviously fake.
Yeah. Such an incompetent publicity stunt that only Donald Trump could have come up with on the fly.
Yeah. But, well, at least he's consistently stupid.
Mm-hmm.
$250,000 of taxpayer funds wasted for, well, what was basically yet another nail in Trump's coffin.
Which, by the way, is closing very fast, for those who don't know, because I don't know if we already talked about it. Senator Bob Corker basically came out and said that – because basically Donald Trump had this little remark where he said, you know, it's just terrible that the press can write whatever they want and should we challenge their licenses and all this stuff. And Bob Corker basically came out and said the White House has turned into a giant adult daycare center.
somebody missed their shift.
Yeah, and Rex Tillerson basically called him a fucking moron. And that's usually – they're basically planting seeds to pull the 25th Amendment on him.
Mm.
Like, you can already see it. The vultures are circling, and King Donald the Mad is on his way out. So,
yeah. And, of course, he's the only one who doesn't realize it.
Yeah. But anyway – so moving on, speaking of Trump, Eminem was at the BET Hip Hop Awards where he did a cypher, freestyle, and wow.
Yeah.
I had to brush off the ashes from all of that fire, because
yeah.
Verbal arson. And it's that's like, an understatement.
Those bars were lit, like.
Yeah. It's like I half expected Dad Forden to pop up at the corner and go,
Busty! And honestly, we can do it no justice in words here. You have to watch it.
You just, yeah.
Because he basically just said, the big thing that a lot of people was that he basically drew a line in the sand and says, if you're a fan of his and you support Trump, you can go fuck off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which,
not simply paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's like, nope, don't want your money.
Yeah. And ooh, there was a lot of folks who were salty on Twitter because of that.
You can't tell customers to go fuck off.
Actually,
well, yeah, you can.
Yeah. And also, I have not gotten used to the idea that he has facial hair. Seeing him with a goatee is just...
Yeah, it's weird. Still like, yeah, I still kind of remember him from his clean-shaven days when he did 8 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but...
We're old.
Yes.
Yeah, we're old. You have to understand, when we were kids, Eminem literally released his first album, and it was... You know, my name is, you know, that was.
Yeah, seeing that, hearing that on, like, 90s radio.
Yeah.
Like, 2000s radio, it's like, holy shit.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like when you start hearing, like, alt rock and all that sort of stuff in supermarkets, because that's classic rock.
Now.
Yeah.
And Led Zeppelin is on the easy listening station.
It's like, dear God. Hearing Nirvana at the grocery store. That's not right.
Yeah. But,
These two things don't mix.
Yeah. So, moving on from there, we got a story from ESPN. They have suspended Jemele Hill for 2 weeks after tweeting about how to protest the NFL. I think she actually, like, it was basically she... Chris, you got to explain this one.
So a little while ago, she got a talking to from execs for kind of just saying, pointing out that the president is a white supremacist. And yes. This recently, Jerry Jones came out after all the tickety stuff that Trump was going nuts about, basically said that his players have to stand for the national anthem or else they're going to get benched, which is against the rules of the NFL. So he technically cannot do that, though I don't know that any of his players have really done any kneeing for that stuff, so may not be an issue either way. I think when he was saying this as well, they were on a bye week, so it didn't matter anyway. But yeah, she was... There's a lot of talk about trying to send a message to Jerry Jones, and she was talking about that... let's see... don't rely on the players to make the statements. You guys can, you know, do boycotts of the advertisers, send them the message, and they will be able to put bigger pressure onto the owner and the team than any of the players could do. Just kind of being very constructive criticism about people that were tweeting at her about this. And then she got suspended. I think the quote is, Jemele Hill has been suspended for 2 weeks for a second violation of our social media guidelines. It seems like, I read somebody put this pretty well. They want black hosts on their network, but not black people. They don't want actual real people to have things to say about the things that are going on. Like, hey, when Trump talked about the NFL, that was a huge thing for them to cover.
Yeah.
But her actually talking about politics outside of those bounds is apparently off limits.
Yeah.
Completely. Even though she is a citizen of this country like anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to have black people on TV, but they don't want them to have opinions.
Mm. Yeah. Which then was funny because on... I think it was, pardon the interruption, later on, one of the hosts, Mike Wilbon, used the N-word.
Yeah.
Black, so he can do that, but it's like, okay, you guys are okay with him doing this, but her, she can't say anything about protests or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's like even the gender second, second guessing of that stuff is still going on.
Well, it's an example of what happens when you try to, it's sort of a hollow kind of liberal political correctness where, you know, he's like, okay, he's a black guy, so he can say the N-word, so that's fine, but a black woman actually has an opinion about politics, that's not okay.
Yeah, so especially it's sort of as like, it relates to sports.
Exactly. So,
which just ends up making it a bigger debate.
Mm-hmm.
And lessens the ability for it to just go away.
Right. Well, anyway.
Well, at this point, I think she's going for a third.
Yeah. I actually want her to go for a third.
I think she's going to take her suspension, get back on the air. Maybe she'll, you know, tone it down for maybe a week or two, and then she'll do it again and force the issue. Are they going to fire her? If they do, imagine the shitstorm that's going to raise.
I want to say
probably
she
lawyers
put out,
already lining up for her, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say she wrote up a big thing for Sports Illustrated, sort of about the topic. They got a quote here. It's very important to make the distinction between politics and commentary, information and discussion of social issues. I find that the majority of what comes into my timeline is related to social issues. Nobody's dying to engage in a discussion about repeal and replace, at least not with me. The percentage of people who want to discuss social issues has, however, increased substantially. Everyone's consumed with what's happening in our country right now. I don't tweet a lot about politics. I do tweet more about social issues, which I consider to be issues of morality. Racism isn't politics. Racism is an issue of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. Tweeting about significant issues that impact marginalized people isn't politics. That's right and wrong. If I had to guess, I would say I've increased my tweets about social issues about 20%. I tried really hard not to let these issues consume my feed because there are a lot of days where I just want to have fun on Twitter, want to debate with power and insecure fans about what's happening on the show. I want to make jokes and have silly sports arguments, but unfortunately those days feel like they happen less.
Yeah.
But she's right, like the whole thing where like Trump people want to turn everything into being about politics, even if it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the whole sort of argument they want to have where you're talking about politics, therefore it's offensive, therefore you should get fired by your job or whatever.
Yeah. Moving on from there, we got news from the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts are going to start admitting girls to its ranks, which is only revolutionary if you don't look outside of the U.S., because most of the scouting organizations in the Western world have already done that.
Yeah.
But this, of course, is America, where nothing actually exists outside of our borders, and so is the decline of America, death of manhood, feminization of boys.
While looking up articles for this, Fox News had exactly those articles.
Yeah.
Of course they did.
Like, at this point, I'm pretty sure they just have, like, some sort of, like, fill-in-the-blank Mad Lib, like, pre-rendered article for just the outrage of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the business model.
Yeah. But, yeah, so for those who are wondering, no, the Girl Scouts aren't going anywhere. It's just the two organizations are sort of going to tie together and basically become a single mega organization. They're still, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, they're going to go out camping and suddenly the boys and girls are going to be sleeping together. They're still going to be, you know, segregated in separate bunks and everything.
Okay, here we go. Eagle Scout, rest in peace, Boy Scouts of America. You were great for 100 years. there's another one. There's a place for Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Do the Boy Scouts really need to embrace girls?
I guess this is Fox News, so consider the source.
Well, yeah. On one hand, they're condemning homophobia, but on the other hand, they don't want boys and girls to embrace. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, like, look at our assholes of the week. They found more ways to interact with girls and not be in, you know, sexual ways. Uh-huh. Those sorts of things could be avoided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learn to treat girls like people.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like that other gender.
Yeah.
The icky gender that gives us cooties.
Exactly. And, you know, I was hearing, like, people like, well, does this mean the Boy Scouts are going to have to start selling cookies? I'm like, that's a bad thing? I mean, have you had those cookies?
Those cookies are
awesome.
They're
pretty bomb.
They're top tier.
Yeah. Get those cookies twice a year now? Yeah, it's like, hell yes.
Yeah. But, again, I need to repeat. All this really means is that they've caught up with the rest of the Western world, because scouting organizations outside of the United States have been doing this for years. Like, and it wasn't even that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I think this might be more business related.
It's possible.
Need more people in there.
It's possible. But
there's an interesting stat here. Let's see. The Boy Scouts membership numbers, as far as per year, peaked in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
6.5 million members they added that year. 2016 was 2.3.
Yeah. So it's still a large crowd, but
yeah.
And you have to remember that the Boy Scouts in general had been really stubborn in changing some much needed policies. People remember they only just recently, I think it was like a couple of years ago, rescinded their ban on LGBT members.
Yeah. Well, I think they're still requiring like Christian Catholic.
Yeah, they're
spouse.
Still requiring you to be religious.
Oh,
be a member.
The statement of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. There's parents who remember the LGBT outrage.
Uh-huh.
There's parents who tell their kids, fuck no, over my goddamn dead body, you're joining that organization.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A great Donald Trump Jr. weighed in with a great statement here. Strange. I thought that's what the Girl Scouts was for.
Strange. You're a motherfucking asshole. Shut up.
Yeah.
Well, the great thing with all the Harvey Weinstein stuff is he tried to pin that on the Democrats.
Uh-huh.
I think Seth Rogen sent him DMs basically saying, hey, remember your father was accused of sexual assault by several women? Why aren't you demonizing him?
Yeah.
He posted pictures of that on his account.
Wow.
It's like, all right, have a good day.
But, yeah, so you guys know how we Americans are. The older generation is stubborn as all hell, and they won't. Every little change is just another step in the decline of America, you know?
Yeah.
But, all right, so moving on. In the next impending death mass print media, Time Magazine is getting a circulation, and some other major publications like Entertainment Weekly and Fortune are doing fewer issues per year. So it's basically just another sign that, yeah, print media is going into the niche.
Yeah. And to be fair, this isn't this shouldn't be a huge surprise for anybody, but as far as Time Magazine goes, they're kind of one of the few that are actually ahead of this curve because they're doing a lot of their stuff online already.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so... Man, old media just doesn't want to die.
It'll peter out eventually.
Yeah, but anyway, so moving on. We mentioned this earlier, but we'll go ahead and mention it again. Dove released this ad that was... Oh, it was. It's just weird. Now, I do need to explain something. If you've been on social media, you've probably seen some bits of this advertisement. It's a black woman who reaches down her dress, she pulls it off, and then suddenly she's a white woman, right? But what people have to remember, though, is that's only part of the ad, because that same woman then pulls up her dress, and then suddenly she's a brown-skinned woman. And the problem, though, is that it still just looks weird, man.
It's like, hey, don't be proud of your skin.
Yeah. The idea that they were trying to get across the idea that now they have new shades for – they have new products for different shades of skin now. So not just one that applies to just one particular, just white or black. Now they've also got the median.
Mm.
They just did
like
it and really –
they needed somebody from the outside to say, hey, maybe rethink this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that doesn't really say we have products for different shade skin colors.
Mm-hmm.
That to me says that your using these products will turn your skin a different color, which is not an effect you kind of want. Just saying, doesn't matter what color, you just don't want that to happen.
Why do people need different soaps based on their skin color? What the fuck are they
marketing.
Selling here? What are they? They're selling soaps based on skin color.
I think that's what they're doing.
Actually,
have they gone
on.
Into makeup? Did I miss something here? They sell soap and maybe moisturizer.
I mean, they sell different kinds of soap for different kinds of skin anyway.
Yeah.
for people with the irritable skin, all that sort of stuff.
Well, sure, but you can have irritable skin and, you know, you can be any color you want to be. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Phil, you're probably right. Just fucking marketing.
Yeah.
Creating.
And sadly, this happens. It's kind of a... Because the thing is, this type of shit is sadly pretty common in Europe. Because, you know, there's still... You'll occasionally see, like, these... Or especially in Southeast Asia, where everyone remember that... that now infamous ad where the Asian woman puts the black guy in the washer and dryer and he comes out a smooth Asian man.
Okay.
What?
I don't remember that, but...
Yeah, that was a couple years ago.
Oh, if you remember
that... I'm
pretty
sure I would remember that.
The black PSP versus the white PSP ad?
Yeah, where it said white is coming.
Europe. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the... Amazon white woman trying to strangle the black woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one I remember.
It went back and forth. There were different ads where the black woman was overpowering the white woman and vice versa.
Yeah.
Which but never, it never was shown over here.
Yeah.
But the internet doesn't have any sort of care about where these things are at.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, so now we got some science news. So there are these insects that are called tree lobsters. And for the longest time, we thought these things were extinct. And then we just recently discovered that, no, actually there's still a few of them around.
Yeah, these were located on an island called Lord Howe Island.
Mm-hmm.
A remote Australian island, but a ship with rats on it crashed onto the island, and the rats ate them all,
mm-hmm.
as far as they knew, and they thought they went extinct about 100 years ago.
Yep.
They found more of them on a, I think it's, I forget where else they found them. They found them about 10 years ago. Thought they might be like a different, similar but different species of them.
Mm-hmm.
Sent it in for DNA testing to verify this and found out it was like 99% identical, so they were the same thing.
Huh.
So they were not extinct anymore.
Mm.
And so now they're trying to figure out a way to eradicate the rats and get them back to their original habitats.
Mm. So just out of nowhere, these things suddenly show up again.
Yeah, I think it was on... What's the other country near Australia? New Zealand.
Yeah.
I want to say it was like an island around New Zealand. So not too far away, but still a weird place to find these things. Which, these are stick insects. So not too dissimilar to some of the stuff we have here, but they're kind of... a little bit thicker and like brownish black and still freaky looking.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, all right. So moving on from there, scientists have discovered, the first dwarf planet to be found to actually host a ring system. And, it's called Haumea. And
yeah, it's, I think outside of like a little bit further away than Pluto.
Hmm.
But yeah, they didn't think dwarf planets could really support rings. But now they've found... They say this is the third body smaller than Neptune known to have rings.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that is a dwarf planet. Which, the particularly weird thing about this is this dwarf planet is egg-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already kind of weirdly shaped. And they're trying to figure out sort of how this stuff happens so they can they're going to start sending satellites out in that direction, and they want to be able to detect this stuff so they don't accidentally crash into these rings when they fly by some of the stuff.
You said the planet's egg-shaped, right?
Yeah.
So are they going to send the probes out there and suddenly discover that Howard the Duck is living there?
I don't know, maybe.
that may happen.
That's an obscure movie joke that just did not work.
Because it's not a good movie.
Exactly.
People want to forget all about the duck sex.
It's... But moving on. Next story. In Antarctica, hell has opened up in the middle of Antarctica, and the dead are returning to life.
Sweet.
So, repent now.
This is the end times.
I regret nothing.
I regret nothing. And when I get up to heaven, I will give God the finger.
That or this is the plot of The Thing.
Yeah. This is basically how The Thing started.
Yeah.
Okay, in all truth, though, there's this weird hole that's opened up in the middle of Antarctica for the first time in over 40 years.
Yeah, this is called Polynya, P-O-L-Y-N-Y-A. It's about 30,000 square miles. I think they said it's about the size of Maine. Has sort of opened up.
But what kind of hole is this? I mean,
it's just like a lake under it in the ice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was solid ice, and now it's just a hole.
Yeah.
With ice under it.
Yep.
Yeah, there was one of these that opened up last year. But they're still not exactly sure how they happen. But the thing they think is that this water is a little bit warmer and saltier than or at least the deep part of this water is warmer and saltier than the surface water. So occasionally, let's say the ocean currents bring the warmer water upwards, where it melts the blankets of ice that have formed on top of it.
Hmm.
And creates this Polynya.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, you know.
This isn't one of those... This isn't one of those holes in Antarctica that looks like it's bleeding, is it?
No, it just looks like...
A big lake.
Yeah, it kind of looks like... like a lake just formed in this piece of land.
Hmm.
Except it's all ice and water.
Yeah.
So it's like all of this just warmer bit of water just showed up here and melted the ice that was right above it.
Mm-hmm. So,
remember, climate change
isn't real. It's not happening, folks.
Yeah, Australia says it's not happening. Or it's a good thing. We'll have less people.
Yay. Yeah, anyway.
From the country that wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a former prime minister that signed the Paris Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Said, hey, global warming's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so recently in Switzerland, they analyzed their wastewater, and they discovered that about $1.8 million worth of gold, yes, gold, passes through Switzerland's wastewater every year.
About 43 kilograms of gold.
Mm-hmm.
They also found that there's about 3,000 kilograms of silver that passes through it as well, so it's about 1.7 million.
Yeah, now, do we have any idea where the hell it's coming from?
They're gold refineries.
Well, okay. You just got a whole new market.
Now you got the.
I think there was somebody. There was somebody probably skimming off of this for years and years, and now they're like, "Fuck."
Yeah, it says here about 70% of the world's gold passes through these refineries.
Mm-hmm. So, man, that is out of sight. How much silver? Did they say how much silver goes through?
3,000 kilograms.
Damn.
Which is still not worth as much as how much gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Just God damn. That is just... Somebody's got to build a filter or something.
That's what I'm saying.
What they say, probably silver is coming from chemical and medical facilities.
Well, fuck it. It's still silver.
Yeah.
harvest it.
Yeah.
Yourself some money.
Or you can just do like the old, like the old timey Yukon Gold Rush folks, which is just take a pan out and
burn it,
sift through it by hand.
Boat trip to Switzerland.
Yeah.
Yep.
But all right. So moving on. Who here grew up watching Rugrats?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Called it. I think we
but
pretty much all.
What is this growing up you're talking about?
Relatively.
I watched him as an adult. I fucking love Reptar.
Yeah. Rugrats. Rugrats is what taught me about Judaism.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I'm that is no joke. I literally learned everything about Judaism I learned from Rugrats.
Hmm.
In fact, I've been told by a lot of people that that's how they learned about Judaism. Because,
you missed it in Arthur, huh?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was probably one of the most prominent shows or movies of Jewish people.
Yeah, because so those of you who don't know, Tommy's grandparents, on his mother's side of the family are, I think they're Russian Jews. I think they're Eastern European Jews, and a good part of the. And a lot of Jewish stuff would crop up. They had a whole Hanukkah episode.
Passover, too.
Passover. In fact, I remember that one because that's when the granddad went missing, and so Stu had to do the Passover
Seder. Was that the play? Were they doing, like, a play?
No, I think that's the Hanukkah one.
Okay.
Because one of them had to play the dreidel, yeah. I remember. But anyway... guess what? Reptar bars and Reptar cereal, they're now a real thing.
For 1 week, anyway.
Yeah.
FYE.
FYE.
So, we have one of those still around.
Much like the Szechuan sauce at McDonald's.
Except nobody's at FYE.
Yeah.
Only if you, like, run out of clothes because you got wet going into the mall and you have to have something to wear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Apparently, they're not good.
But yeah, so those are things now.
Like I saw that mentioned on Twitter.
Hmm.
The Reptar cereal's on pre-order.
Yeah.
So you can
and remember the thing about the...
pre-order cereal.
Yeah.
It failed.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that people treat, like, the Wheaties boxes, all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
people definitely do that.
Yeah. And remember, the Reptar bars turn your tongue green.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's
that's an effect.
$12.99 for a box of Reptar cereal.
What? There
might
be some vomit marshmallows
shit.
In there.
Nope.
It looks like Fruit Loops. Shit. What the box shows.
Except it make and it turns the milk green.
Yeah.
I don't make my milk turn green. It's called neglect.
All right, well.
Where's the line, right. though?
Mm-hmm. So, next up, Breaking Bad fans have forced owners of the White House to install fence to keep them out. And by the way, we don't mean the White House in D.C. We mean the house that the White family lives in.
Yeah.
So the people that actually live in that house... have Breaking Bad fans trespassing onto their property to take pictures and all that,
and then some of
pizzas
them
on the roof.
Yep. Because of course they do.
Yeah.
Wait, they did what on the roof?
They threw pizzas on the roof.
That's one of the more infamous scenes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Walter White is just so pissed at his wife, he just throws the fucking pizza on the roof. Or he just throws a pizza and it just happens to land on the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they put up a fence to try to keep these people out because and sort of the same way with the Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People can't just say take a picture from the street and sort of say, hey, here's the house.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta go get into the backyard and all this stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like
by the way, speaking of the Szechuan sauce, you want to see something that's really going to piss you off? Look on Facebook and look up the pictures of that guy who managed to get 3 packs of that stuff and then poured it all down the drain.
Did you see what Deadmau5 did?
What'd he do?
He did, well, he got one of the jugs.
Uh-huh.
So he had a concert in Canada. Uh-huh. Basically bought like 1,000 nuggets and got everybody a little bit of the Szechuan sauce and a nugget.
Yeah.
That came to the show. Which nice. Was like the first time anybody in Canada has tried at least like the new batch of the sauce.
Yeah.
Was this Dead Mouse concert where people got fucking chicken nuggets.
I went to a Dead Mouse concert and all I got was this chicken nugget.
I mean, it seemed like they were happy.
Well, at least in their defense, McDonald's does use all white meat chicken for the nuggets. And no, that's not a lie. They actually do.
Yeah, they're pretty decent nuggets.
Yeah, they're just going to – McDonald's at this point really is just going to have to put the Szechuan sauce back into mass production because –
That's
what
they're doing. They're
well, they're totally doing that.
They're bringing it back.
Like, it, again, there's like, no
like,
way.
This year to – it was really stupid to do it for one day.
Yeah.
And then send, like, 20 of them to each store.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you idiots doing?
Yeah.
Well, they've got that like meat you're... sauce now with their chicken strips. Have you guys tasted it?
No.
It's kind of like it. Their chicken strips are kind of good. Try
yeah,
it.
They are.
I'm sure. I haven't tried those yet.
Yeah, I think they're probably
like they
number four.
They should have had this sauce available for like a week or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like you get 10 sauce packets and then good luck.
Yeah.
And angry Rick and Morty fans are just coming shit on your floor because you're wasting their time, or they waste their own time by trying to get fucking sauce at McDonald's.
Gonna act shitty, we're gonna get swifty.
You know what? The people that go to McDonald's, they don't even have to be mad to shit on the floor there.
Speaking of McDonald's, I gotta remember, I'm pretty sure, I gotta check and see if when the McRib comes back.
Oh yeah, it's almost rib season.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. Rib season
whenever,
is totally a thing.
Whenever the rib prices go down.
Yep.
That's when they buy them up.
They bring them out.
They fucking play it like the stalk market in Animal Crossing. Like,
yes.
Get down, I'm going to buy it because we're going to sell it. Make all the money off these idiots.
And look, every year they bring the McRib back, you always see those articles and those photographs. Look, I know it looks like shit when it's frozen. That's why I don't eat it when it's frozen.
Oh, yeah.
I also know that it's not really ribs. I also know that it's probably partly
pork sludge. Of course you're not getting
sludge.
Ribs at McDonald's.
Yeah.
If you want ribs, you're going to a fucking rib place.
Yeah. It is basically a giant flat hot dog covered in sweet barbecue sauce with some
pickles.
Onions and some pickles, and I don't fucking care. It's delicious.
It's good as shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, next up, Martin Scorsese has come out criticizing Rotten Tomatoes, box office reports, and their influence.
Yeah, this Shocking. Is sort of all about how he talked about how box office reports have become such a big thing that people. Just follow that, like the whole thing with the Blade Runner 2049. People freaking out about the first day.
Mm-hmm.
It did not do well at all, though I think it did pretty fine by the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's bombed.
No, it's done okay. It's
yeah.
Honestly, that may have been for the better because if it had done extremely well, that means we would have gotten sequel after sequel after sequel. And...
Yeah, but people let that stuff just define the movie, like the quality of the movie, when it should not have any say at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, watch it and enjoy the movie for yourself, but it's sort of the same people that obsess about how games sell and talk shit about, like, oh, it only sold 1 million copies. Like, 1 million copies is really good.
Yeah, it's that talk that's basically killing AAA gaming.
Which is why, you know, NPD doesn't report numbers anymore, because fuck
what
yeah.
What does it matter if you don't have fucking stock in the plane, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
do
it's
we have
fanboy
to have,
shit.
Do we have to have everything validated? Oh, hey, look, other people bought this game. My taste must be great.
Yeah.
I think with movies, it's especially like, oh, Transformers keeps making $1 billion. Fuck those assholes.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, hates following this stuff of seeing what shitty movies are doing well and all that.
Yeah.
I don't
Well, blame China, because they're the ones who end up...
that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you want to blame anyone, blame China, because they're the ones who make up the maximum number of filmgoers with the Transformers movies.
And they're funding a lot of it, too.
Yeah.
And that's why you see a lot of scenes in China in these movies, because that's part of the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the token Chinese actress that is in all these movies.
Yeah.
Because, hey, they're funding it, so take our actress.
Yeah.
Put China in here, say good things about it.
Yeah.
And you get your money.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, that's kind of what the U.S. does, too.
Yeah.
When it's funding a movie, when the military gets involved and decides it wants to fund it, he's like, yeah, we want you to be rah-rah and say good stuff about the U.S. military. And then we'll give you all the money you need.
Yeah, but they're not funding every movie out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Rotten Tomatoes also fits in this because people just follow the number.
Yeah.
And obsess about that. So when Get Out had 100%, then somebody came along and didn't think it was as good as that.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously get shit on because it's the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, the people making the movie got pissed because they lost their 100%. It's like, you still have fucking 99%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's better than 99% of the other movies out there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And people just follow the number like they do with Metacritic. It's like, these are just fucking trying to make it easy for you to see potential reviewers or sites that might line up with your own views.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can go directly follow them instead of just having all the guessing games about, oh, is this game going to get above 80 or is this movie going to be, you know, a 20% movie?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, you know, just watching it, enjoying it, you know, and talking to people, but not letting these stupid numbers that have nothing to really do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I mean, basing your opinion on other people's opinions of things.
Yeah.
They're valid complaints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
So, in other news of, you know, weird Hollywood fuckery, Sony has announced that they want to make a movie based on Settlers of Catan.
Nope, just stop that right now. Nope.
Why?
Because Battleship.
Fuck.
Let's see. Gail Katz is producing this, who did Pawn Sacrifice, The Perfect Storm, and Air Force One.
How does this exist outside of Robot Chicken?
I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
Dan Lin is joining the producing team, who worked on It in the Lego Movie.
Okay, so this is not just like, yeah, we're thinking of maybe making it. This is like, okay, we're actually going to make this shit.
Yeah, we're going to make this shit.
Assembling a crew.
Yeah.
They're going to make the shit.
The writer is
this.
Working on a Playmobil game, movie, as in the Lego knockoff stuff.
Well, European Lego.
Yeah. The Lego is European as well. Is it not?
Yes, it's originally from, I think, Holland or Denmark or something like that.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
It's so basically proof that Hollywood really has run out of ideas.
Yeah.
Like, that tap is dry.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, give them some fucking ideas. For Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, from the people that brought you the Emoji Movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually the people working on that. It's just...
No.
Funded.
Humanity has failed.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, ever since the Lego Movie did very well and was, like, critically acclaimed, because they actually managed to get some really good people on there who managed to take what could have been a pretty selfless corporate tie-in and turned it into something with a lot of meaning.
Yeah.
You know, and with a message to it. And now they think they can do that to every type of corporate property.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No. If you don't have the script and you don't have the right people on it, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what the hell is the story going to be? About farmers competing against each other?
Well, it's, I mean, if they're going to... If they do that, that's going to be completely stupid. Yeah. Or it could turn into a reality show. We just... I'm surprised that actually hasn't happened yet.
Settlers of Catan based reality show.
Yeah. Or well, you do it.
Sony Pictures, so.
Yeah.
It's going to be a movie.
Or you make it as a, you know, kind of a, you know, frontier survival type story. I mean, that's another way you could go about it.
Yeah. So, I guess.
And then it really wouldn't resemble the game in any way. So,
no.
You know, you're
what's the point?
The point is to exploit the license.
Yeah.
Exploit this German board game license.
God. That shit happens, like, all the time. They'll, like, it's not unusual in the, like, for them to get a, like, one of these licenses, and then somebody will send out a spec script for, like, an original property, and they decide, hey, let's take this thing that we bought and this spec script, and let's try and glue them together. You know, it happens all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you ever wondered how Kangaroo Jack came into existence.
I can't say I've ever wondered that in my entire life.
No. Well, I'm fine with not knowing about that.
All right, so moving on in TV news, Supermarket Sweep. Supermarket Sweep is coming back to television. That's another retro.
Talk about wow. 70s game show revival.
Oh, yeah.
It lasted well into the 90s.
Yeah, it did, actually.
They rebooted it in the 90s.
Oh.
That was some great stuff.
Yeah.
gotta go get those turkeys.
Yeah.
The potential for chaos for this is amazing.
Yeah.
The modern supermarket. Would be interesting to see how they do that.
Yeah, put them in a Walmart super center.
Good luck.
And watch the blood fly.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so Fremantle Media got the rights to the show, which does... I forget what they do. They do The Voice, I think, or The X Factor.
Mm. Mm. What do they do? One of them.
They don't have a good... site that says, hey, what do we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
get the fuck out of my house is apparently a thing they do. I don't know what that is. Okay, they do The X Factor, American Gods, The Golden Brain.
That one is.
I Am Heath Ledger. I guess a documentary about Heath Ledger. Match Game. I guess the most recent Match Game.
The most recent one, which was terrible.
Ice Road Truckers, okay.
So they did a lot of those weird reality / game show / weird things.
The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That might be a British Apprentice. I don't know. Those aren't people
People forget that The Apprentice was not actually originally with Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure it was a British property first.
Yeah, it's produced in the UK.
But moving on, Batman, the animated series. We all watched it. We all loved it. We still love it. It was amazing.
Oh,
it's getting a remastered for Blu-ray in 2018.
Well, I shudder to think how much that's going to cost.
Yep. Yeah, they just did the Harley Quinn movie.
Mask of the Phantasm, probably the best, in my opinion, Batman movie ever. Mm-hmm. They just did that and released it on Blu-ray.
Mm.
So I'm glad that they're paying attention here.
Yep.
It's good.
Does it say anything about a price tag?
No, it's not coming out till late 2018, so they don't have a price yet.
Yeah.
They're going to do individual Blu-ray packages for each of the volumes, but also have a set for the 85-episode series.
Yeah, you don't want...
Plus the 24 episodes of the new Batman Adventures.
Yeah,
I guess that was volume 4 of the DVD set, so...
Yeah, so I'm buying that whole set. Just, yeah. Take my money, please.
Mm-hmm. I will gladly shoplift and go into the poorhouse if I have to. I will take this. Moving on. Netflix released the trailer for their remake of She's Gotta Have It, the famous Spike Lee movie. And I've actually never seen this movie, so...
Yeah, it's like it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, didn't really gel with me, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
I didn't see the original, so I don't really have much context, and it's like, no, doesn't really...
Spike Lee is a very, his film career is divisive, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love Do the Right Thing. I thought that was a great movie. You know, Bamboozled, that was also a good movie. And others, not so much. But, obviously, that's not at all the most important trailer that came out this week.
No.
Because we finally got the second big official trailer. Well, I don't think it was the first trailer, wasn't it?
I think that was a teaser that released.
Okay, so this is the first proper trailer for Star Wars.
It's all the same shit.
Yeah. You guys know
it's
I get
crazy.
It's just
the marketing stuff.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch the trailers or anything, so I'm going to put down my headphones.
Okay,
let me know when you're done.
Yeah.
Okay. headphones down.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, now let's talk mean about Teresa and call her names.
Okay, she really did put her headphones down.
All right, so, okay. First things first. Apparently, there may or may not be some strife between Kylo Ren and Snoke.
Huge surprise.
Yeah, it looks like he's trying to get rid of that old identity of his. Second of all, apparently he does more or less come face-to-face with his mother, which, of course, is Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher, the late Carrie Fisher.
General Leia.
General Leia, yep. And there's this very emotional confrontation.
Where he hesitates.
And of course,
he's not as willing to kill his mom as fast as he was his dad.
Yeah. And then, of course,
there's also these weird gorilla AT-ATs.
Oh, yeah. Those things were amazing.
Like right at the beginning, it's like, what the hell?
Yeah. And then we see... the other big thing, which is Rey and Luke, we actually see Luke speak. Unlike in the last movie where he was just there for that one scene, because that was like the big reveal.
Yeah, and they probably wait for like the end of the movie to do this too. So,
basically, he's training her in the ways of the Force, more or less. And apparently Rey is really fucking good at it.
She kicked Kylo Ren's ass without any training at all.
Yeah. And basically Luke is watching her do some of this stuff, and he says, I saw this kind of power back then. I've seen this kind of power before, this kind of strength before. It didn't scare me enough then, but it does now. Basically, you know, anybody who remember who watched the teaser, you know, he made the big statement, you know, it's time for the Jedi to end.
Yeah.
He says here, this isn't going to go how you think it is, something like that.
Yeah. And, of course, we got the Porg, the adorable little bird-like thing next to Chewbacca.
The guinea pig owls.
Guinea pig penguin owls.
Yeah. Which there's pop figures of that. It's like, well, there's the one pop figure that doesn't have to fuck up its eyes.
Yeah.
Those are really pop like eyes. Funko Pop eyes.
All right. And, yeah. Then we got to see...
you actually see Phasma do something.
Actually do something.
It's like, you've got Brienne of Tarth here, and you're not doing anything with her.
Yeah.
She just fucks her up in episode 7.
Yeah. And now she's fighting against, God, what's his name?
Finn.
Finn, yeah. Finn, the clone.
Mm-hmm.
Did they show the evil BB-8?
No, they didn't. They did show the real, the other BB-8, though, the actual one. Mm-hmm.
I've seen the toys that it's like, you guys didn't try very hard to make us the
evil. Just change color.
Yeah.
It's like invert colors.
And, of course, it looks like Finn is back, is maybe undercover or doing something undercover at the first first order. So, yeah. Remember, he's a clone. He's a stormtrooper clone. Yeah. So
he's not a clone. He's an orphan they picked up on some planet.
Yeah, and then
clones,
of course,
are long dead. I think at this point, for the most part.
Yeah. And we did finally see Snoke, and yes, he is not. He is real. He is not just a hallucination or something. He is
ugly as hell.
Yeah, he looks like he basically took a bullet to the face and survived.
Looks like if you took Palpatine's deformation and just kept it going.
Yeah, or you took Gollum and just rammed a pull cue through his head. By the way, isn't that Anthony Serkis that's actually playing Snoke?
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
And then, of course, there was the big thing at the end where Rey is talking to Kylo Ren. And she says, I need someone to help me find my place in all of this. And Kylo offers his hand. And then music, logo, end of trailer. So there's so many things that people are thinking about. Like, is Rey going to turn to the dark side? Is Kylo Ren going to go forsake the dark side and take the Sith and go to the light side? Are they both going to team up and try to stop the whole Jedi Sith thing forever?
Yeah.
Is Luke the evil one?
Yeah, is Luke the guy that's actually...
He's been hiding out in Ireland for all these years.
Yeah.
He turned evil.
Or here's the one that I really thought. Is Leia the one that's going to end up turning to the dark side? Because if you noticed really quickly, you noticed that one shot where Kylo Ren has his mask and stuff on. For some reason, he's picking his lightsaber up off of the floor. And you're thinking, why would Kylo Ren leave his stuff on the floor? So the theory is that that's actually Leia taking up a mantle.
As you see Kylo Ren's sick scar?
Yeah.
It's got the weird texture on it.
All right, so...
two more months, folks.
Yep, two more months.
Meanwhile, Mark Hamill's going to troll.
Yeah.
On his Twitter about this, because people ask him relentlessly. Yeah. He says, I don't know, maybe, I don't know.
All right, so we're done with the spoilers, Teresa.
Alrighty.
Porg.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, if you don't know that one by now, jeez.
Turn to page 634.
Yeah.
All I said is the creature she's probably seen 1,000 times. Of the weird guinea pig bird thing.
Yeah, the Porg.
So I don't know if that's a good name or not.
They got freaking Pokemon. That's I try to stay away from it, but I mean, I live on the internet.
This sounds like a typo when you're trying to search for porn.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, I do believe we've got a show, folks.
Yep.
Wow. All right. So I would like to remind our listeners that if you'd like to ask us a question, send us a message, have something you want us to read on the air. Maybe you've got that big political manifesto you've been wanting to get out there or something. Or if you just have a question or comment or some polite criticism of our show, you can reach us at letsweekenders at gmail.com. That's letsweekenders at gmail.com. We have that in the show notes link too, if you can't remember that. And, of course, on top of iTunes, you can find our little unprofessional fodder at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archives.org, and just about every place where fine podcasts like ours are produced. And where you can listen to them for fun.
And profit.
Because we sure as hell don't get paid for this shit. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sologi, God, I completely mangled that, didn't I? Teresa Sammons and Chris Sologi. We would like to thank all of you. Good night. Get some sleep out there. Apparently now you know where Much Ado About Nothing actually means. Hey, folks.